Track 11, Volunteers' Tales. People's life stories are fascinating, don't you think? And even more so when one is acquainted with the person whose story is being told. So what about one of Chatterbox's own volunteers, Peter Dennington? Here's Tony to tell you about Peter's 15 minutes of fame.
When I was a child, I was obsessed with show business, completely stage-struck. My mum had a Beck's Bissell carpet cleaner, but when I was five, it was my microphone stand. My favourite song to sing along to was "What Do You Want If You Don't Want Money" by Adam Faith. At school, I was often drafted into the choir. Someone must have thought I could sing. In 1973, I met a young guy called Derek Oswald, who had come to Norwich to run the Third World Centre. But that's a story for another day. Wherever Derek lived, he would start a jug band, and Norwich was no exception. I joined, along with several others, including one of Norwich's best-loved characters, Martin Wyatt. Derek and Martin are still my friends to this day. Two of the songs we did were "Sitting on Top of the World" and "Dr. Jazz." These two songs were to stand me in good stead a few years later. The Vintage Hot Orchestra was one of Norfolk's best jazz bands. Some people would liken their sound to the Temperance Seven or the Pasadena Roof Orchestra, but the VHO, as they were known, really had a sound of their own. They were founded in the early 70s by Graham Burdick, known as Muffin on vocals and percussion, and Mike Pahl. I don't care what anyone says, I say Mike Pahl was one of the best banjo players in the country. A seven-piece, they were joined by Ian Bell on trombone, Bill Donnelly cornet, John Anderson clarinet, Ken Maxwell on piano, and Professor Les King on sousaphone. These were stage names used here to protect the guilty. One Saturday afternoon in October 1976, I was browsing the Here and Now page in the Eastern Evening News when I spotted an article which said that the VHO were looking for a replacement percussionist and singer as Graham was moving to Norway. I thought, I could do that. So I ran round to the local phone box and rang the number. Mike Pahl answered the phone and told me to get myself round to the Jacquard Club on Maglan Street on Sunday evening at 7. I had seen the band a few times and I knew their dress code, so I decided to try and look the part as much as possible. Nervous as hell, I turned up and was asked up to audition in front of a club full of jazz fans. Now, I wasn't nervous at all. I was flipping terrified. Mike asked me if I knew any of their songs. I said yes, two of them. I sang them, and to my surprise and amazement, they went down well. I then had to wait until the end of the gig to learn my fate. The band had a little discussion, and then Mike told me I was in. I could barely believe it. He took me up on the stage and handed me a pile of sheet music a foot thick. He told me to go through the pile, disregard any songs I'd never heard of, but if any were familiar to me, try and learn the words. I'm not so good at it now, but when I was young, I could learn song lyrics dead easy. I once learned a song from George Melly from one hearing at a concert. The next Sunday, I went back and was asked how many songs I'd learnt. I said, besides the two I did last week, 40. They seemed to be quite impressed. I think I performed 15 songs that night, and I was in the band. Over the next 26 months, we played some fantastic gigs. We did a May ball, always in June, at Caius College, Cambridge, on the bill with George Melly, with John Chilton's Feet Warmers, Shakin' Stevens and Georgie Fame and the Blue Fames. A big show in a marquee in Great Yarmouth Racecourse. Joe Loss and his orchestra were on that one. On the Queen's Silver Jubilee weekend, we drove up to Yorkshire and did a gig in a large pub, and the next day carried on to Carlisle, where we did another marquee gig in someone's garden. finishing at 4:15 a.m. and they were still calling for more. We had about 3 hours' sleep and then spent all that day travelling home to Norwich and went back to our day jobs the day after that. I think if I tried that now, it would kill me. Then, at the end of 1977, someone recommended us to New Faces, the ITV talent show. We auditioned in a hall on Unthank Road and were accepted. We decided to do a song called Cover Me Up With Sunshine, a nice up-tempo happy song. We travelled by road to ATV Studios in Birmingham for the show in February 1978. Again, I was terribly nervous. On arrival, we found we were staying at the Norfolk Hotel, which is, or was then, Temperance. No alcohol. We were all aware of the reputation of jazz bands and booze, so it didn't go down too well with some members of the band. On Monday morning, it was rehearsal day. One of the acts was a magician who was so bad he was good. At one point, a beautiful young lady came in to audition for a future show. She was great. Her name was Patti Boulay, who became quite famous. Tuesday was dress rehearsals and final run-through. The show was recorded on Tuesday evening, and as we entered the studio floor, Derek Hobson, the compere, was standing by the door. Now, our sousaphone player was well into his 60s, and he had a wonderfully craggy face. Derek took one look at Les and remarked, "Now that's what I call a new face." Next, we were to learn who the judges were. George Elric, band singer and favourite presenter of Housewives' Choice. Shaw Taylor, who presented Police Five. Rosalie Horner, Australian playwright and TV critic for the Daily Express. And the great man himself, Terry Wogan. Only Shaw Taylor came to the bar after the show. There were seven acts and we were first on. We got halfway through our song and suddenly all the electrics went off, lights, sound, the lot. There was a long delay while the electricians sorted out the problem. The show then had to be restarted from the top. Great for the nerves. We finished third, beaten by two singers, both full-time professionals. When it was all over, I longed to do it again. My appearance on TV led indirectly to my meeting a beautiful young lady called Sally. Perhaps I'll tell you about that someday. We married in 1979, and we will celebrate our 44th wedding anniversary in August.
Thank you, Tony, and that must have been an exciting time for Peter. The world of television studios is certainly fascinating. I once appeared on the quiz show 15 to 1. Maybe I'll tell you about that sometime.